Every Christ follower is issued a simple and yet profound invitation. It's an invitation to follow. However, this is not an invitation to follow blindly, because His footprints are there for you to see. Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama. If you dare to accept the challenge to follow Jesus in His steps, you will join a long line of faithful followers who have gone before you, both within Fraser Church and around the world. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to Day 6 of In His Steps, Jesus' Prayer for His Disciples. David Gusick said, "Having thought and encouraged the disciples as much as he could on the eve of their despair, Jesus now does the great thing. He commits them to the Father in prayer." Our text comes to us from John chapter 17, verses 6 through 19. "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the spirit might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." Jesus continues his prayer by interceding for his disciples. John Phillips helps us to see the context of this section of Jesus' prayer. The Lord is still walking along the Gethsemane road. He had been talking to his followers and now talks to his Father. Like Moses at the burning bush, we would do well to remove the shoes from our feet. The place whereon we now stand is holy ground. We can picture the Lord Jesus pausing now in his walk toward Gethsemane. The disciples are clustered around him in a tight little group. He cared for each and every person with a compassion that was even at that moment taking him step by step to the cross. But these were the men who were to take the news to the world, and right now it was more important that he pray for them than he should pray for the world. Jesus prayed these words to the Father. "I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours." David Gusick explains these words by quoting G. Campbell Morgan. When Jesus says, "I do not pray for the world," it is not out of unconcern for the world's plight. It was because of a focus on his own disciples. He was praying for the instrument he was creating through which he would reach the world. Jesus' prayer for his disciples focused on three main requests from the Father. The first focus of Jesus' prayer is his passion for unity. In verse 11, he prays, "Holy Father, keep them by your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one." Jesus wants his disciples unified just as he is unified with the Father. Jesus knows that everything his disciples do as part of his church hinges on our unity. When the church is unified, passionate in prayer, and controlled by the Holy Spirit, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. However, divided churches are powerless churches. Second, Jesus prayed for their protection. The word translated kept in verse 12 means to guard, watch over, care for, and to preserve. Jesus prayed, I guarded them, I watched them, I cared for them, I preserved them. And then he prays, those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Notice that the keeping is the result of the guarding. Jesus' prayer enlightens us to the security and safety he provides for those who know him and follow him. Third, Jesus prays that his disciples will be sanctified by the truth of his word. This theme on God's word starts in verse 6. They have kept your word. It continues in verse 8. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them. The word of God will transform you and make you more like Jesus. It'll give you a desire for righteousness. Jesus prays that his disciples will keep God's word because he knows that the secret to unity and sanctification. If we follow the example of Jesus' prayer, we will discover a more passionate prayer life. Remember, Jesus came into this world not only to talk to people about God, but also to speak to God the Father about people. Prayer was the priority of Jesus. Everything he did hinged on prayer. Prayer provided him with direction and power. Jesus' priority must become our priority if we're to receive direction and power from heaven. The power of a church is largely dependent upon the prayer life of its members. And if Jesus was prayer-driven, how much more is it for us to become prayer-driven people? Some questions to ponder. Why is praying for unity so critical for disciples of Jesus Christ? How can a passionate prayer life remind you of the protection that God provides? How can the security give you peace? If Jesus prayed for his disciples to keep his word, how important is it for us to incorporate this focus into our prayers? Thank you so much for joining us today. Be blessed.